Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to quantum think again. Yeah. I'm so grateful. Quantum thinking is good for us. We need to think better. And quantum thinking helps. And to do that is the author of a book called Do You Quantum Think? She's been on the show a number of times before. I love talking with her, Diane Collins. Diane, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I love being here with you and your listeners, and I love just the context of Energy Stew, the name of your show.
Well,
we're
going to stir the stew.
Good.
So what's interesting is that we're moving into a new era, and this new era needs your book, needs to understand how to hold ourselves and our minds in a much more dynamic, open, opportunistic way that we can actually make the future work.
Very definitely. And, you know, what's interesting is when you look around now, even in the advertising and in institutional advertising, especially, and you see a lot of things about new thinking, you know, AT&T, rethink possibility. The Hyundai car commercial I noticed the other day, you know, think in a new way. And this is an energetic trend right now, because as we are in this, what I like to think of as a new season for humankind, it really is a great new season and a huge energetic shift, where the shift really is in thinking. It's in consciousness. So this is how the outer world, you know, the everyday world, starts to reflect it. And I think what you're asking, Peter, is that, you know, we need to really be looking at that ourselves. How do we think in a new way?
Well, it's a problem to think in new ways when we're so conditioned by the old ways that haven't worked.
And exactly, or at least reach their limits.
And yet, you know, I'm looking at politics as one area, economy as another area, and we're being told so many stories, and there's very little truth.
And that's for sure. Right.
And so, how do you think in new ways when you don't know what the truth is?
Well, this is a very interesting question that is really, you know, an aspect of what I call my revelation is that, you know we have to think in a new way. We have to be able to come up with new solutions. We need to transcend, you know, this status quo of contradiction and, as you say, you know, erroneous things being thrown out of in the news every day. So what is new thinking? And new thinking from a quantum think perspective, which is what my book is all about and my work, of course, is not just a new idea, a new thought, a clever or innovative new thought. When I talk about new thinking, it really means a new system of thinking, a new basis, a new framework from which to think. So as you mentioned, the old world, what I discovered is we have been conditioned, we are conditioned in our thinking according to the beliefs, according to the prevailing worldview. Now, we're in the quantum age, you know, we're in a new worldview where people are interested in your show, you know, they're excuse me, your work as an intuitive, we're interested in connecting in all these dimensions, in the subtle energy dimension, in the spiritual dimension, learning more about what is this, what we call the quantum universe of this field of intelligence and energy that we're all living in, swimming in, connecting with. and how that relates to our physical everyday reality and our emotional state and our inner peace or lack thereof. So when you put this all together and you realize that the industrial age worldview from the 17th century only conditioned us to think according to the five senses, then you start to see, oh, well, it makes sense. We never learn about these multi-dimensions or how to think from there, how to think literally holistically, not just an alternative, you know, holistic. We know the word. It's not just an alternative method of healing. It's the nature of nature. It's the nature of we live in a universe of whole systems. So when you literally jump your thinking system, it's an expansion. And then you're not stuck and trapped in the old world conditioning, which when you look in the five senses, we look separate from each other. We look different from each other. You get into that old either or, you know, it said it had to be, you know, a predict and control universe. But now we're in a different time and we literally need a conscious shift.
Okay, well, let me say something about the past that I don't blame the industrial era. I think it just used our limitations. I think we've been limited. I think humans have been a very limited race, and we're coming into a time of expansion of consciousness. We all feel it. It's been happening. It's going to happen much more. So that's why your book is so important, because we need to understand that we're okay thinking different than these limited mindsets. And so we're moving forward into a brave new world of consciousness that we need some understandings of how it works, how to find agreement with each other about how it works so that we can enjoy it together and expand together and create a new world together and in open-mindedness, in creative-mindedness, in clarity that is very separate from all this conditioning that has worked on these limited minds that we've been that our race has held for so long.
Yeah, and you're making a lot of good points. And in fact, you know, I like what you said about let's not blame it on the industrial worldview, because in my book I say, what if there's nothing wrong with us? But when you get to chapter 17 of the 22 quantum think distinctions, conscious evolution is that chapter where I'm saying, you know, I twist the whole thing around by saying we, as you and I know, we project, you know, the outer world is a projection of our inner state, right? Or so where we are, as you're saying, as where we've been in the evolution of humankind, it's that what I'm saying in that chapter is we actually projected according to our state at that time.
Which is a limited state, so we projected a limited world.
Exactly. So we projected the industrial age, and also because we needed it. We needed to, you know, like you go out of the agrarian culture or like into how do we organize life? How do we, you know, get the disciplines of science and all the other things that were good about that derive from it. But as you're saying now, and you know, I also find it very important what you're saying is that even though I like, you know, I think of it as there's nothing wrong with us. We're just, you know, we have been, quote, you know, victims of our own automatic ways.
I do think there's something wrong with us. And I think that's why we're moving into a new era, because the things that were wrong with us were restricted actually by our DNA. I don't think that we could have that greater awareness except for exceptional people here and there. But for the most part, our society is a bunch of mindless slaves that we're here for a purpose, and we're moving out of that purpose because our mindlessness is destroying our planet and our civilization.
Yeah, I like to think of it instead of as wrong as just, you know, that was the stage of revolution. And as you say, and, you know, I also write about this, that it was only, you know, the select, I call it, you know, it's we have to go beyond the time of the elite spiritual few, right?
Right.
Who were able to awaken their consciousness, who were able to go beyond the automatic conditioning, those very limited beliefs. So, you know, you like to say it as there is something wrong with us. Well, there is something definitely, you know, wrong with the way that we are with each other, have always been with each other. I mean, even the Bible is full of, you know, so much conflict and, you know, anyway, I don't want to get into the Bible, but the idea that is really promising right now is that it's time for all of us to wake up. Because, as you're saying, that limited view, that limited consciousness, that, you know, going along with whatever belief, even though it didn't make sense in your heart, soul, and mind, has reached this point where everyone says, right, we're on the precipice. We're either going to, you know, make this leap in consciousness, whereas you're saying, Peter, we all start to collaborate and come together and wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this isn't working. We better get this together. Or we all go, you know, in another direction.
But it's not about we better. It's that we are. There is a shifting going on that so many people see. There's awareness and a drive for the future that hasn't been present before. And so many people are aware that it what hasn't worked has to be changed in new and different ways that we don't even know yet.
That's exactly right. And this is why we need to think, to be able to think in a new way. You know, well, what does it mean to think from a new framework? Is that you start to think from, literally, I mean this literally, one of the principles. You know, I like what you said before also about you have to understand how consciousness works. You have to understand the nature of what we hold in consciousness as individuals and also collectively, and how that shapes our relational fields, our experience, what we emanate, what we attract, and what literally ends up in physical manifestation. So we have to learn those things. Now, to be able to think from infinite possibility, you know, we have to know the principles. What are the principles of quantum thinking, right? Holistic and holographic world. We live in an observer-created reality where there's a distinction between you and me, but no actual separation. We're existing in fields of energy information where when you awaken your own consciousness, you only then can you be a choice in what your, you know, your decisions and your trends of thinking. So when you start to think from infinite possibility, what you come up against, and you and I had just, you know, chatted about this in email the last few days before the show, about, you know, you asked the question, how do we sabotage ourselves from this? And, you know, the sabotage, I don't take it as even a conscious, willful act. It's more like the sabotage comes when you don't recognize the, you know, walking, the sleepwalk, you know, where we're asleep.
Or what about fear also?
Say that again.
Fear keeps us asleep, but there's so much that we sabotage because our fears push us back down our least action pathways.
Exactly. And let me just say what least action pathway is, because okay. It's a term that I use in quantum thinking. You know, what keeps us from infinite possibility thinking are those least action pathways, the way the energy goes, because it's been that route before, a rut, the way the thought goes, because it's been that route before. And it is that it's not even, most of the time, it's not even our own thought. It's, or the fear. It doesn't even, you know, belong to us personally because we exist in fields, right, that are invisible, so we're not thinking about it, that we pick up from the atmospheric wave, you know, the waves that are going on, these thought waves, they're kind of just visiting us. And so the way that, if you want to use the word sabotage, the way we sabotage is if we latch onto that fear state, is if we latch onto those least action pathways thoughts that don't serve us or others. So what I say it is, there are circumstances. It's not like, you know, right? There are people having grave illness, problems,
sure.
Economic problems, you know, personal, existential, what am I doing here and what's life all about, meaning and purpose, you know, things going on
right.
with them. So
the world hasn't worked, and it's proving itself that we've been doing it the wrong way. So many people, there are health problems because the whole medical establishment is corrupt. There's economic problems because the banks are corrupt. There's political problems because there's so much propaganda and lying. And, you know, it just forces people into modes of thinking and behavior that are limited because it creates all this fear.
Well, this is where I'm saying, when you awaken, you're beyond these conditioned automatic least action pathways of the culture, then you begin to emanate a more conscious state. That's really our collaboration, which you then take into your own personal action. Because, you know, you say the banking system is corrupt. I think of it this way, Peter, that it's not the system. It is, because that really takes the responsibility off the people, you know, and it's a both and. So you're saying, you know, there are things wrong, and at the same time you're saying, so this is a quantum way of thinking that you're doing right now, the both and. At the same time, we are in the state of awakening. At the same time, there are things that are drastically wrong that are, you know, going on right now. But for me, it's not the system. It's the consciousness of the people who are running the system, not the system itself. Because if you have, you know, if you have people who are conscious, who are connected, let's say, to the, you know, really operating from heart chakra, right? Compassion, love, joy, not conceptually, but really experientially, like directly. This is what the purpose of quantum thinking is to go from just knowing the wisdom or even teaching the wisdom to actually living it, embodying it. Because the wisdom's been around, right?
Well, what it is that, yes, the wisdom has been around, but it's not in everybody. And we're getting to a time, that's what 2012 is about, I believe, is where this energy shifts in more into the heart, more into our awareness of the greater good, and being more, let's say, spiritual. A lot of people are excited about that word and the idea of that, to see what can I do with that in my life. How can, now that I'm more awake, make a difference, even though I work for such and such bank or a corporation or whatever. You know, is this helping the planet, and how can I make a difference? And that's not going to change in the least action pathways. It's only going to change because we're moving into a time of transformation. And that's why what your book is about is then how to hold that. Okay, here I am, somebody who's all of a sudden, you know, the cracks are opening up in my hardened system, and I want to know how to make it a better world. Where do I go next? And so the next place might be to quantum think.
Well, as you know, I say at the end of the book, I didn't choose quantum think, it chose me. So we each have our own unique contribution of the wisdom. Certainly you have yours in, you know, many ways manifesting, and everyone listening does as well. So this was like I got the silent tap on the shoulder, you know, from infinite intelligence saying, okay, get this out. And it really is, you know, it's more than a guidebook. It's really a way to await the intended purpose of my book, Do You Quantum Think, is to connect to your own awareness as you read. So you awaken your own awareness as you read. And as I review in part one, which is called Wake Up, you know, like the situation, what's going on now? What about wisdom? What about, you know, mind? What about the stories that we've been, you know, read to and told over the last thousands of years? And how does that all fit into today? So I like to think of it, and then the part two, Live the Wisdom, are the actual principles. You know, what is the nature of how we relate and how we create reality? Because what you, according to the most cutting-edge science, which happens to now be proving all ancient traditions, what's universal in spiritual wisdom. But I call it, in short, it's wisdom made practical, because what you're making, the most important point, it's like we can't just sit around and, you know, sit on the mountaintop and say, well, I'm enlightened, you know, I don't care about the rest of the world. It's like the great thing about the technology and the way that everything is being exposed now, all those situations that you're talking about, the great thing about it is that we get to connect through social media. We get to have a voice and galvanize and be able to do something. But I'd like to see it go beyond the 1% and the 99% to the 100%. Because the 1 and the 99, even though it has a loud voice and it's saying something important, that we need to have, you know, something more equitable going on in the way the wealth is in our society and the way that we enable people to be productive, self-expressed citizens making their own contribution. That's great. However, if we still fight against, then it's still the old world thinking, that divisive either or. So the real quantum thinking is to be able to look from the perspective of all perspectives and be able to think, how can we have it work for us? How can we have it work for, you know, I don't even like to use the word poor because I don't like to think of people that way, but how can we have it work for all the economic statuses, for all the different peoples of the world? And until you start thinking from that whole place, you're not actually quantum thinking.
Well, what's interesting is that the most advanced thinkers who I've come into contact with and have interviewed on the show, including you, are people who actually don't have the answers.
Right.
We don't.
We don't have the answer, but what we do have, and you know, it's funny because I call my blog on my website, I call it The Answer. It's kind of, you know, as you know, the way that I write my book tongue in cheek, you know, a little bit like, let's laugh at ourselves a little bit here, folks, to make it easy to read and fun to read. But I call it The Answer because for me, the answer is, it's not a, you know, well, here's the solution based in a content-based answer. The answer is a context-based answer. The answer is awakened thinking.
The answer is the process.
Right. It's the awakening of your own thinking beyond the automatic thoughts, those least action pathway beliefs, ideas, judgments that come up for us that do not serve us, that we can catch it. You know, the beauty of it is you can catch it, you can interrupt it, and you can say from a conscious place, okay, what's my intent? What do I want to have, you know, what do I want to have my attention and my awareness on?
I think our intention is to agree on discovery.
I love that. Agree on discovery, because right. You know what? Even in a conversation, now, when you start to think from the framework, right, of it's a holistic and holographic principles of wholes, which is how everything works, then you start to see, even in a conversation, there's actually a distinction I have, being in one conversation, exactly what you're saying is that you go into a conversation knowing that you don't have, quote, the answer, but what you do have is an intent to reach a viable, sustainable solution.
Or a new awareness that you haven't had before.
Yeah, or a new, including a new awareness.
Right.
And so what happens is, let's say, if we start to have conversations that are to come up with new solutions, and you go into it as we're different voices in this one conversation. You and I are the ones speaking right now. The people who are listening are also part of this one conversation.
Right. Their minds are very active right now.
Exactly. And it's beyond the ordinary limits of space and time, because the one conversation that we're emanating right now, that you and I were generating it, the people listening are also generating it, and as I say, beyond chronological time. So it's really reverberating out. And when we get into a conversation where, as you know, my husband, Alan Collins, who is my business partner and life partner and master quantum think coach, that we do private consulting with executives and visionary leaders in major corporations. And so they're dealing with real-world problems. And so what they like quantum thinking, because you can go into it, as you say, you don't have the answers up front. That's the quantum world. You can only see, right? 96% is dark matter and dark energy. We only see 4% of the visible universe. So, but we know the other 96% is there. So when you map that onto human thinking, and you go in and you say, okay, we have an intent, like, what would a new form of media be? What would that look like for going forward in the great shift that's, you know, demarcated by 2012? And then you get into a conversation where you allow from the energy stew, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the energy intelligent field that we're in, that's surrounding us, and allow for our intent to activate literally a probability
right.
wave of
right.
many solutions.
You just get the bubbles going.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
You
and
let it bubble up from
right.
the quantum field.
Right, and be aware. Allow yourself to live more in wonder so that things, when things show up, you know how to identify them.
Right, and this is the delight of it. You know, it really is that, you know, what I call the learning the faculties of mind that were not taught in traditional education.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Because traditional education is based on the five senses.
Right.
Only physical is real.
This is how to think better.
Yeah. And so
quantum thinking. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, so let's find out where people can get your book. And the book is Do You Quantum Think? And you are
new
Diane.
New Thinking That Will Rock Your World.
Right, New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And you are Diane Collins, D-I-A-N-N-E. And what kind of website is available?
Okay, the website is www.dianecollins.com, and that's Diane with two N's, C-O-L-L-I-N-S.com. And what's also on there is Alan and I lead a free, what I call, ultimate study group. Ultimate because it connects people all over the world who are reading and quantum thinking twice a month. So you can sign up for that, and you can read all about my book. And my book is available everywhere fine books are sold, as my publisher says. So you can get it online. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get it in stores everywhere. And you can order it if your local bookstore doesn't have it. And I'm really excited about it. Of course, I'm passionate about it, and I really appreciate you having me on the show, Peter. I just, love what you're doing. I just love the context that you live from.
We both had such a good time doing the show together, and I really thank you for being a guest on Energy Stew again.
Okay, see you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, and I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, and thank you so much for listening.